Radio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rocket.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what you're for on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you. Stop it.
And joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Hello.
We got 3 hours of Raw to get into, and it was quite an interesting show, I guess the best way to put it.
It had its ups, its downs, its hugs,
and its crying.
And its crying.
More times than we thought we would get tonight. But we'll get into all that.
We will.
As I noted, the show opened with Triple H coming down to the ring for his matchup against Curtis Axel, and they started having a match, and Triple H went crazy, and he started hammering into Curtis Axel like Connor would. He's pissed off. He wants his match. He gets his match. And then Vince McMahon's music hits, and he struts down to the ring, ready to, well, go over to the ring announcer, and basically told the ring announcer to do this. He called for the bell, and as a result of a disqualification, Curtis Axel was the winner.
But that wasn't good enough.
No, that was not good enough, so, well, Hunter went over to the ring announcer and said, and the ring announcer did. So we get Curtis Axel and Triple H one more time. Then Vince McMahon strutted back down to the ring, walked over to the ring announcer, and, well, bell was rung again. Via forfeit, Curtis Axel wins. Okay, then. But things were not done there. Triple H went over to Justin Roberts and, well, yelled at him to once again. And this time it's a 60-minute Iron Man match. For the first time in a long time, we get an Iron Man match on Raw. 60 minutes, how about that?
And everybody was like, okay, that's cool.
That's kind of cool. And then, yeah, Vince McMahon came back down to the ring and, well, said, one more time, the bell rang. That, well, the match didn't really happen as McMahon told Heyman and Axel to leave because they won the match twice. And then he yelled at Justin Roberts and that he will need a new microphone and, well, Mark Eaton will need a new ring bell because Vince took the bell.
Walked off with it. Everybody went, huh?
Vince McMahon, folks, walked off with the bell. Huh? What more, like, that actually just happened. Vince walks off with the bell.
Yes, that really just happened.
I don't know what to say. It's just interesting start to the show. Very entertaining. I will admit it was fairly entertaining.
Oh, the dick measuring contest between father and son-in-law was hilarious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It really, really was.
It's like, screw you, it's like, you're not allowed to have your match, so I'm getting your match. Screw you, I'm going to restart my match, because I have the power too. No, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Screw you, I'm taking your bell.
Who takes a bell?
Like, that's the most, that's actually the most ingenious solution to stop a wrestling match I have seen in the longest time. I'm just going to walk off with a ring bell. Mm-hmm. If the bell doesn't ring, it's not a match. It doesn't count, which is amazing.
It doesn't count, yeah.
It's like, that, wow, that actually logically works.
Mm-hmm. It worked. So Vince has the bell, and what was up with his tie tonight?
I don't know. It was weird. It was pink on the top and blue paisley on the bottom, and I think it was confused.
Just leave it at that. We go backstage, well, to Stephanie McMahon.
I'm not sure where he is, okay? But please just...
You saw that!
Calm down. I did see
you it. Saw that's crossing a line! I don't care what his personal... I don't care! That is crossing a line. That was solely to embarrass me. You know it, and I know it.
I know, I know. He was wrong. He was absolutely wrong. You know my dad. He goes off the handle. You threatened him somehow. I don't know. But please, please, Paul, don't hurt him. Just don't hurt him. He's not getting any younger. Hunter, think about him in the pool just yesterday with our little kids and squirting him with the hose. And just try to think about that. Please, Hunter, please. Just don't hurt him.
Okay, all right,
please
all right,
don't
okay,
hurt him.
All right. Listen. You have to go talk to him, though. I'm telling you right now. If I go talk to him, this is not going to end well. He's not going to like what I have to say, and he's not going to like how I say it. Go talk to him.
So in this segment, we got an interesting visual. Vince McMahon, with a hose in his hands, spraying little children.
I was personally waiting for, like, Cranky Asshole to make the dick reference, but he never did. I was so disappointed.
Just think about that visual. Vince McMahon in probably his Hawaiian shirt and some yellow short swim trunks spraying kids.
Oh, yeah. And you have to admit, it was a nice play. It was... They had Stephanie be more... like what we were talking about last night on WTR, where she was still dressed as the executive, but rather than being the executive, she was the concerned wife and the concerned daughter, and she brought more of the family into it than the business aspect of it.
Right. I liked what they did. I like how the one little negative is she called him Paul once and then Hunter the rest of the time.
Yeah, I think she's still trying to work on that. But the one name slip worked fine.
It worked fine.
You know, because it is what it is. And I'm sure it'll get better next week. Like, I think she's rusty.
She's rusty, yeah.
But... I have to applaud her because she actually tried to cry.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, go Steph!
She did try to turn on the tears and it sort of worked.
Yeah, I love that he's like, alright, enough, I don't want to see it, stop!
And that always does it, you don't want to see a woman cry.
Nope.
So
we're ugly when we cry.
So we then move on to Kane versus Dean Ambrose. In a solid match.
It was another really good matchup between these two. I mean, they've gone against each other so much lately that it's like, yay, it's going to be a good match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of all you say. is like, yay, it's a good match. It ended with shenanigans, though.
It ended with shenanigans when the Shield jumped Kane and Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton made this save, and then we learned about how there's going to be a poll on some app thing later in the show. But yeah, Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton had Kane's back tonight.
And it led to the most epic backstage segment ever.
Exactly, and we go backstage right now.
You know what, listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I didn't RKO you on purpose. I did, but if you think for 1 second I'm going to let you drop kick me in the face, you're dead wrong.
Oh yeah? Well,
hey, Daniel, back off! Alright? This is not a fight that you want to pick, okay?
What? You don't think I can handle Randy
that
Orton?
That's not what I said! Look, both of you guys have matches against members of the Shield tonight! Daniel, you have a match against Seth Rollins, and Randy, you have a match against Roman Reigns. So the last thing that you two need to do is to be fighting with each other!
You know what, Kane? You know what, Kane? You're right. The last thing Daniel needs to do is fight me.
Thank you.
You think I'm afraid of you?
Oh, shut up!
And your beady eyes and your horrible haircut and your bad tattoos.
Bad tattoos? Oh, yeah. Hey, Kane,
please,
you know what? Take
it.
Your yappy little buddy out of here, out of the room, before something bad happens to us.
Excuse me! Y'all need to pull it together because I just made this official. This Sunday at Payback, the two of you will be facing the Shield, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, for the Tag Team Championship.
That's great. Kane and I have another shot at the Tag Team titles. That's awesome.
I wasn't talking about Team Hell No, Daniel. It's more like Team Hell Never. I'm talking about you and Randy Orton.
They get a title match?
No.
Wait, they beat the champions by disqualification on SmackDown, and they deserve a title opportunity.
No, Vicky. If you think what happens on Friday is going to happen again at the pay-per-view, you are dead wrong.
You just stay out of my way.
You stay out of my way.
I got a match to prepare.
I don't believe this. This is unbelievable. This doesn't make any sense.
Kane, I didn't forget about you. At Payback, I'm granting you a U.S. title match against Dean Ambrose. Good luck.
You know, Vicky, I always did like you.
Kane in this segment was absolutely tremendous. The what the hell moment that he has after he finds out that Brian and Randy are getting the title shot is priceless. Like, go find this on YouTube, go watch his facial expressions because they are absolutely priceless. He made this segment, even though it's highly disturbing that Kane is the voice of reason here. It's still hilarious, especially with Randy and Brian going off on each other like an old married couple. Then you've got Kane in between, who's trying to sort it all out, trying to keep them apart. It is just, it's an amazing twist for the character. And then, of course, his reaction to when he gets a U.S. title shot, and the smile, and when he hugs Vicky, to which I say, damn it, I want a hug from Kane.
You want the hug?
I want the hug.
You want the hug? Oh my god, that creepy... He has this really creepy face when he hugs.
He has a really creepy smile.
He does. He really, really, really does.
And I'm waiting for memes now. I'm so waiting for memes.
Did you see how uncomfortable you think Vicky was on that hug?
Well, considering the fact that he had just gotten done wrestling, so he was all sweaty and nasty and gross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was probably really uncomfortable because he just, like, grabs her and hugs her and holds her. And all I could think, like, the whole time was, ew, sweaty wrestler, ew, sweaty wrestler, ew! So I amend that I want the hug from Kane after he's had a shower.
After he has a shower, okay.
But it doesn't mean much because, you know, Vicky's outfit? Hideous.
Maybe the sweat did it some justice.
Not a bit.
Not a bit.
Not a bit. I don't know what the hell was going on. The top was somewhat okay. The bottom, I think she got confused. There's a lot of bad clothes on tonight. A lot of bad clothes.
And we'll get more fashion tips in just a minute.
Oh, yes.
So coming out of it, Orton and Bryan are now the team. Interesting.
Which means possibly Orton and Bryan are the next feud for each other?
I think that's where we're headed. We don't even have to ask the Magic 8-Ball, but I think that's where we're headed.
So the question is where does Kane fit into all of that, or does Kane fit into all of that?
I don't know.
Because eventually there's going to have to be a point where somebody in that relationship tells somebody else to F off, and it's just the question of who's going to do it and when.
Right.
Because Kane is doing his best to, like, stand by Bryan and be a good friend, and Bryan just being a dick.
Where, you know... Well, he did tell Daniel Bryan to F off on SmackDown.
Yeah, but they came back together. They keep coming back together, so there's going to be that final blow-up argument, and it's never over until Kane either chokeslams you or lights you on fire. So
basically, eventually, someone's going to fire someone from their life.
Pretty much, yeah. And then they'll delete them from Twitter and Facebook and Skype and be just never talk about them again.
Mm-hmm. And for Cuban Pete in the chat room, that's a question we've talked about many times. We don't know when Christian's ever coming back.
We think he's missing.
Someone get out the milk cartons. Christian is missing. Up next, The Miz takes on Cody Rhodes. As during this matchup, we were told that Fandango is out of the match as a result of a concussion. Damn that Zack Ryder. He screwed the pooch on that one. So we had Miz, Cody Rhodes. Miz wins via submission. No, fine match for the couple minutes it had. Wait for Lindsay to talk. She's there to plug back in the microphone.
I am plugged back in. I'm not muted.
There we go. Now I can hear you.
Well, I don't know what happened. I was plugged in the whole time, but anyway. Match was fine. Barrett on commentary was fine.
But after the match, as we were told, it's Miz versus Wade Barrett. Oh, no, 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 no. Paul Heyman walks onto the stage and announces that his newest client, who has victories over Chris Jericho, John Cena, and Triple H, which includes two of them tonight. Curtis Axel will now make this match a triple threat match at Payback. Axel said this will be a perfect ending to the match this Sunday, and it will be him, the new Intercontinental Champion.
Which left everybody in our group chat going, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
So, King Kittens, those of us that pick Fandango will have to change our picks. We will change at least, I'll change mine on Thursday if Mace and Omega are in earshot and would like to come on and change their picks. They're welcome to do so, too.
Yeah, we'll get their picks in. Because I think the only one who didn't pick Fandango was Mace.
I think so, yeah, but it seems odd to put him in this match. I think they went, oh crap, he doesn't have a match, and we're pushing him, and it's obviously he's not going to face Triple H at the pay-per-view.
Right.
So, it's, oh crap, Curtis Axel needs a match. Let's give him a match. Okay, let's throw him into the IC title match, because Fandango's hurt.
With a concussion.
Supposedly. Which apparently it was not severe because he passed his impact test and...
But he didn't pass the other test he needed to pass.
Right. So they're holding him off the card for his own personal safety. But yeah, it's just... It's kind of convenient that Fandango gets hurt the week before the pay-per-view and now they can slide Curtis Axel in.
I think it's a legit injury though.
I'm sure it is. It's just, it's a very convenient injury. It's kind of one of those, you know, crazy random happenstances where it's like, oh, Fandango's hurt? Okay, well, we can slide Curtis Axel in. No problem. Done!
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, we get more plugging of, the McMahon family drama. Which is always interesting on a night of Monday Night Raw. Family drama. And speaking of family drama, well, Stephanie confronted Hunter. Now she must confront her father.
Dad? Dad, come on. Dad, I know you're upset. I know you're upset and you're just trying to protect Hunter. But what you did out there was, it was embarrassing. And you can relate to how proud of a man that Triple H is. And you just walked all over him out there.
I heard what he had to say about me. I heard what you had to say about me. What? I'm not getting any younger. What's that supposed to mean? Besides, he made you cry. He made
no,
my
Dad.
Baby girl cry. He did.
You made me cry.
How did I make you cry?
You made me cry because you went out there and you crushed him.
Yeah.
You crushed Paul.
The hell with his pride. I don't give a damn about his pride. I care about WWE business first.
Well, I care about WWE too, Dad.
Well, then, you'll see it my way. Because no matter who, okay, family or not, business comes first. You do the right thing for business every single time. Best you keep him away from me.
Would you at least try to talk to him?
If I did, he wouldn't like what I say or how I say it. I think that was the way he put it. No, excuse me, I have a show to run.
And the McMahon family drama continues. It's getting interesting what they're doing. And it seems Stephanie has improved her acting just a little bit. I was kind of expecting Shane McMahon to turn around, but that's just me. Anyway, we move on. Chris Jericho is in the ring. Chris Jericho welcomes everyone to Raw is Jericho. Notice he's faced some of the greatest performers in WWE history throughout the years. The likes of Stone Cold, Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H, Mick Foley, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, John Cena, and Randy Orton. But there's one man that pushes him into his limits better than anyone else. And that is CM Punk. The capacity crowd on hand chanted for CM Punk. Jericho said you can say what you want about Punk and his opinions, but what makes him so good is that he believes he is the best in the world. It's why they're such evenly matched opponents. Jericho said they have the same chip on their shoulder, except nothing less than the best, and came into the business the same way. This Sunday, Chris Jericho said at Payback, Punk and Jericho 3 will continue their series of classic matchups. Jericho promised that at Payback, Punk will get his best. No one guarantees a victory from Jericho, but he will say, you will get that, you will get my best because I need to beat you. I have to beat you at Payback, Chris Jericho said. Jericho said after the match, neither one will never, ever be the same. And then interrupted by Dolph Ziggler.
Hi, Dolph.
Hi, Dolph.
We've missed you.
We've missed you. Before we get to Dolph, let's talk about Chris Jericho. Nice little promo by him.
By the way, well, I'll get to it when we get the match, but yeah. This is a very one-sided feud.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really starting to question if Punk is going to show up. Because I'll talk about it now. During the match, Jerry Lawler made a comment that, well, CM Punk must be sitting at home watching this and smiling as Big E's beating the crap out of Jericho. And if you went on CM Punk's Twitter, he was driving and tweeting at the same time while this match is going on and while they're talking about him. He wasn't even home, supposedly.
He ran through a bunch of green lights, first time in history, once in a lifetime.
Yeah, once in a lifetime. So, yeah, it's like, CM Punk can't even be bothered right now with this match. So it's like, is he even going to show up? That's the question.
We shall see. Best way to put it, we shall see.
Well, you would think that if he was going to turn up, this week would be the week to at least, you know, respond to Jericho in some fashion, because Jericho's doing all the talking and Punk isn't saying a word.
Well,
and that's not like Punk at all.
Well, maybe we're getting a different CM Punk when he comes back.
What, a more humble CM Punk? Is that even humanly possible?
Kane's the voice of reason. Everything is possible.
This is true. This is very, very, very
like,
true.
Like, we live in a world where Kane is the voice of reason, so CM Punk can become humble.
Did the Iron Sheik humble him?
Cannot confirm nor deny that. Anyway, as I said, Dolph Ziggler interrupted Chris Jericho with AJ and Big E. Ziggler returned to Raw for the first time in a month after suffering his concussion, and said the nameplate on the title belt wasn't even fresh when he won the World Heavyweight title. Ziggler said he sat at home reflecting on how he earned this title when no one wanted him to have it. He said that payback he will prove to Alberto Del Rio that Del Rio is outclassed in the ring, on the mic, in the back, and on the streets. Chris Jericho interrupted with blah, 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 blah. Before telling Ziggler that he's stepping ahead of himself, he said Sunday's a long ways away. This is Raw in Richmond, Virginia, for the cheap pop. Jericho suggested a tune-up match to knock off the rust against him tonight. Ziggler responded, if Jericho wants a match, he's going to get it against Big E Langston. So we get Chris Jericho and Big E. Before we get into the match, Ziggler was just kind of there.
They're being really careful with Ziggler, and you can tell. So I have to wonder if he passed, but he didn't. He barely passed.
Well, we'll see Sunday how physical he gets.
Well, I think it's more they're giving him this week. Like, they have to bring him back on TV. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, but they're not going to risk putting him in the ring right now.
They're giving him that one more week.
Yeah, they're giving them that one more week to just be sure he's okay, because they didn't have him wrestle on house shows. They didn't have him wrestle tonight. They're basically being very, very, very careful with him. And rightfully so, because that was a very serious concussion. So they're making sure he is A-okay. And I actually wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get double-checked on Sunday.
Oh, most likely he will be. So Jericho and Big E had a match. Not bad. Ziggler hopped on the apron, yelled at Jericho, gave Langston the chance to take over. Straps came down, but then Del Rio came out, attacked Ziggler from behind. This distracted Big E Langston, and then allowed Chris Jericho to hit the code breaker for the 1-2-3. Del Rio celebrated on the stage, and then Jericho, well, sort of said hello to the King of Ringside while they were plugging the magazine. So yeah, Jericho wins.
That was hilarious. I wonder if he realized they were on camera.
I don't think he did. I think he was just walking over, thinking it was in a break.
Oh, hey, Jerry, what's up?
Hey, Jerry, what's up? Oh, you're on. Oh, okay. I'm just gonna say hi. We're just plugging the magazine that's digital now, apparently.
Well, you can still buy physical copies of it, but yeah, they're taking it digital now, probably with the aim that eventually they will eliminate the physical copy of it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. They're just basically going the route of a lot of other print mediums.
Pretty much, yeah. So, we then have Antonio Cesaro versus Sin Cara with Zeb Coulter on commentary.
Oh my god, this was dreadful.
Cesaro won. Sin Cara looked okay. It looked like Cesaro was going to break Sin Cara's neck with that chokehold he had on him.
Oh yeah.
Like, he looked like one of those bad villains in a movie where you just do one little snap of the neck. Yeah. That's what it looked like to me. Cesaro won. I don't even know what to say about Subculture.
They are trying so hard to find Zeb Coulter something to do right now to at least try to keep him relevant on TV. That's very apparent, and sadly, they just don't have anything, especially since Swagger has hurt his hand and he also has upcoming legal stuff. So they're doing their best. And as Mace pointed out, it doesn't help things when you have Zeb Coulter applaud Antonio Cesaro after the match, who's also non-American. So it's like, okay, well, he's just racist against Mexicans. All right. We got it.
Got it. Then we had a promo backstage. Vicky Guerrero and Brad Maddox were talking about Carl's Jr.'s burgers. And you had Vicky Guerrero on camera eating a burger. Why? Why?
And then it got worse from there, folks, if you can believe it.
Vince walked in, told her to, you know, chew and then swallow. And then she asked what, you know, why did she book Cena Ryback in a segment tonight, face off, and then Vicky said it was great TV, but Vince said they can't put this pay-per-view main event in jeopardy. And to quote Vince, if you think as well as you eat, you'll come up with the answer. That was a quote.
This was basically used as a way for Vince to humiliate Vicky Guerrero.
But I think that line was not a shot at Vicky, but at his writers.
Probably.
So, Vicky thought it was a match, and then sort of blamed Hunter, and then blah, 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 blah. We lead to Brad Maddox saying, hey, let's have the Lumberjacks show up, and they'll separate the two. Vince liked the idea, and, well, Team Bricky, well, they had a victory, and Brad Maddox could eat a hamburger.
This was absolutely awful.
Yeah.
This was just, they could have cut this out of the show and this would have been fine. This is basically, I mean, I get it was probably a shot at the writers, but this was just completely, totally embarrassing to Vicky to have her standing there, stuffing her face with this huge hamburger, and Vince walks in, he tells her to chew and swallow. Basically, he devalues her as an authority figure even further by just treating her like she's nothing.
But on the plus side, she has leopard pattern napkin and bib. I guess. Because they're a specialty, I don't know.
I guess so, but still, she's your authority figure when the McMahons aren't there, and I guess now that the McMahons are there, they can devalue her even further. It's like, you know, at this stage, take her out of the position as the general manager, because you've got Vince making matches, you've got Hunter making matches, all you need is Steph to make a match. It's like, she's superfluous at this stage.
Right.
So either have her become a manager again, or have her do something else, or find something else for her to do. But at this stage, if you don't need her, if you have higher authority figures on the show that are running the show, because if you notice, Vince said, I have a show to run.
He did.
So it's not Vicky doing all this, it's Vince.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, if Vince is giving the orders, then why is Vicky there other than to stuff her face with a hamburger? And this is one of my biggest pet peeves with WWE, and you and I have had this conversation, and we will hopefully have it on The Rack Thursday nights, 11 p.m. right here on LawTalkRadio.com. Ding! RackRadioShow.com. Ding! But
shameless!
I learned from the best, you know?
Damn right you did. Damn right.
You're so proud.
I am. You should see the smile on my face right now. It's so huge.
Anyway, it's, yeah, it's, the point that I'm kind of going off on this little rant is that they could have, I understand that they were shamelessly plugging the Hardee's hamburger, which, by the way, I've had it. It's not that good. Just saying the bourbon sauce, big letdown, too. Tried the bourbon sauce, not that good. Anyway, sorry. And yeah, it's just, they could have, you know, it's like, you could have done this and done this in a better way, because pretty much in, like, what, the next segment, they have Jerry the King Lawler staring lustfully at the burger. It's like, oh yes, let's give them a man who's had a heart attack and almost died a ginormous fattening hamburger, because, you know, we've already stuffed him full of tater tots and chicken fingers and milkshakes. You know, let's just try to retell Jerry Lawler on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, sorry. Anyway, this went off on a really weird tangent, but segment other than for stupid plug could have gone and or could have been better.
And sadly, the plug was the best part of this segment. We move on.
It was.
We move on to the match you didn't vote for, but they said you voted for because you voted the opposite way. You get Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns. Pretty good match.
Not bad. They don't have the best of chemistry, but it wasn't the worst.
Wasn't it? Well, because these two really haven't worked that much together yet.
Yeah, I think they're trying to build that to the next step, honestly.
Right. Rollins interfered, Daniel Bryan interfered, the match was a result of no contest. And then we go from one match to the match that people really wanted to see. Because you voted on that WWE app thing that you can download for your phones that they plug 30,000 times during the show. If you haven't played the drinking game, you're probably passed out drunk right now. Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins.
This was match of the night. Easily match of the night.
Without question. Without question. Match of the fucking night.
This was pay-per-view quality.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Jesus, I want more of this.
Yes, more, give me more. This was awesome. Holy crap. They went at it. They were trading hold for hold, shot for shot. That submission Daniel Bryan put on. Oh, that was impressive.
And what was really fantastic is it's like these two guys have worked each other before. They did work each other on the indies, so they know each other. And when you get two guys that have worked each other enough that they know each other really well, you get this kind of match. And plus, they have been working each other on house shows and in TV and that kind of thing. But in singles, I think this was the first singles match they've had together. And it's like when that happened, one, the internet exploded because it's Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins.
You had Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins, and they were given 15 plus minutes on Monday Night Raw.
Which was fantastic.
It was fantastic. Great match. The crowd was really into this at times. The back and forth when they went yes, no on the punches. Tremendous.
Oh, that was great.
Great stuff, and this match ended. Roman Reigns was getting on the apron. Randy Orton yanked him off, allowing Daniel Bryan to give him the small package and pick up the victory. After the match, Seth Rollins attacks Bryan. Bryan fights back, kicks him in the head, leading to an RKO. Sets up the tag match Sunday.
It's going to be interesting.
Now that I remember things, going back to the Kane-Dean Ambrose match for a moment, there was the one spot where Kane just grabbed Ambrose's leg and he just fell flat on his face.
Oh, yeah.
That was tremendous.
That was hilarious. Well, it's...
Go ahead.
I mean, these guys, all three of them, know what they're doing, and that's quite apparent. They were completely ready when they got brought up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, yeah, I mean, the way that Rollins sold, I think it was the knee to the head.
Oh, on the outside? Yeah, he was dead.
He was dead. Like, completely dead. Like, just the way that they sell, they can make anybody look like $1 million. Not that Daniel Bryan needs any help.
No, he doesn't, but it adds to his awesomeness.
It does. Like I said, I'm waiting for them to post this on YouTube. Waiting for it. And they have not posted the match yet, which is really irritating. But, yeah. Have to go back and watch it again, because it was that good that I need to see this again.
Right. So, we now hit the ring. It's the moment everybody's been waiting for. It's time to find out who Caitlyn's secret admirer is. She's in the ring, dressed up where you can see her boobs.
She looks like a hooker.
So she's in the ring. She's, where, come on. Come out wherever you are, secret admirer. And suddenly we get Big E's music. And Big E, carrying some flowers, slowly walks to the ring. Caitlyn is confused. Basically, Big E said people only see him as a big, bad, tough guy, as Ziggler's, you know, heavy. She basically said, he says, I care about you. Caitlyn's still confused. Big E says Caitlyn has every right to be skeptical, but ever since he first laid his eyes on her, she was it. Langston said he didn't know how to tell her until now. He then approached Caitlyn for the kiss. They both just tried to get at each other's face, but because they both have massive boobs, it was kind of difficult.
Yeah.
So Langston pulled her hair back, dipped her, and was about to kiss her, and then drops her onto the mat.
And starts laughing.
And starts laughing. And then we hear the maniacal AJ Lee come to the ring. AJ Lee asks, how does Caitlyn feel? Worthless? Alone? Broken? AJ Lee said that's how she felt when Caitlyn abandoned her. She said Brian Punk and Cena used her and shattered her. But her best friend was nowhere to be found because she was chasing the Divas title. AJ was on the mat, getting really close to Caitlyn, telling her that shattered glass can cut deep. Caitlyn was screaming, you're crazy! And the crowd started chanting, AJ's crazy. AJ replied, she's not crazy, she's smart. AJ Lee says, maybe Caitlyn can beat her in the ring, but she can beat her in the head. AJ said she's going to get to laugh as she shoves Caitlyn all the way down from her pedestal. You're so weak, pitiful, and just trash, AJ said. Caitlyn started to cry, but, you know, she was, you know, really, really upset. AJ then told Caitlyn that the people don't give a damn about her. AJ says the only thing Caitlyn has going for her is the Divas title, but come Sunday, she's going to lose. AJ says Caitlyn is going to run back to wherever, whatever trailer park she crawled out of. AJ says she's going to eat junk food out of her man hand like a useless, unlovable cow. And that's where Caitlyn snapped and tackled AJ, landed some shots on AJ before AJ got out of the ring. She started to crackle a little bit. She was selling her craziness. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, the first part of this segment was really, really, really bad. And it's like you had Caitlyn just walk out and be like, okay, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. And it's like, really? That's how they're going to do it? No fanfare, no nothing. And then you have Big E walk out. And it's like he's walking out and he's dressed up, or at least he's wearing actual clothes, and he's got a nice bouquet of flowers. And it's like they get in the ring and they start talking and they have no chemistry together and he's stumbling over his words. And you're sitting there going, okay, where is the swerve? Where is it? Because it's
just
coming.
You're just waiting for it. Where is that swerve?
Where is the swerve? Because it's like, you know there's a swerve coming.
Mm-hmm.
And when AJ came out, it was like, oh, that's friggin' brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And I adored the second half of the segment where they got into it and she just got nasty and started cutting Caitlyn down.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of found it interesting that she forgot one person when she was listing off the names of her exes. She forgot Kane.
Well, if you think about it, Kane didn't break her heart.
He broke up with her, though.
No, she broke up with him, didn't she?
No, he broke up with her.
Right.
Remember, he told her that... He basically told her he was a monster and he didn't want anything to do with her.
Right. Well, I guess they're just ignoring that fact.
I guess. I don't know. Or maybe my hope will come true that they're actually going to do something with those two. But either way, I just found that interesting that she did not mention Kane when she was listing off all the men who shattered her.
Right.
And Kat and I kind of noticed this, that when they got into it, there was a point where Caitlyn had to stop in the middle of the fight, pull down her dress so she wouldn't flash everybody, and resume fighting. This is why. And I wish somebody in the WWE would realize this and be in the sound of my voice, that if you're going to have the chicks fight, please don't have them in a crotch-length dress to do it. This is not the Attitude Era anymore. You're trying to do a PC show. Or I should say PG show.
PG show, yeah.
Don't have her in a crotch-length dress.
Well, they gotta make it look real, not set up.
Oh, yeah, because that was totally not set up. You know what? She could have walked out there in that same dress, and that sucker could have been down to right above her knee, and it would have been fine. I mean, it's like that. I'm sorry, that looked like that dress. I'm going to go off on it because I don't know where the hell it came from, but she needs to get rid of it. One, it doesn't flatter her. Two, it looks like it came out of the bargain bin at Kmart for like 50 cents.
Well, they do have a deal with Kmart.
I mean, seriously, it's like they showed her on camera, and I'm like, why is she dressed like a hooker? Like, why is she dressed like that? Why isn't she out there in a nicer dress? It's like, even a lot of the divas at least wear a nicer cocktail dress. That just looked... that did nothing for her. I'm sorry. And I like Caitlyn, so it was like, when I saw her like that, it's like, really?
So WWE is hiring a lot of people. The one thing they're not hiring is a stylist. If you want to like hire Lindsay as your stylist, just send us an email.
Don't hire me as a stylist, but for the love of God, don't send her out there looking like a hooker either. I mean, at least the Bellas at least dress somewhat decent. And that's saying something.
Right. So, it was that Big E was the secret admirer, where basically AJ was, and well, they... you had AJ tear into her mentally, and then, well... Caitlyn did the physical, so Sunday, AJ Lee takes on Caitlyn for the Divas title, the match we've been waiting for a while.
Although I will compliment this one thing, and then I've got something to say to King Kittens. When they did the close-up of Caitlyn at the end, where she's sitting there and she's crying and she's got the mascara running down her cheeks and everything, that sold it.
They did a good job. All things considered, they did a good job.
And when real girl fights happen, and you're in a dress like that, you don't stop to pull the sucker down. You keep going.
Well, yeah. Duh. But this is national TV. She knows she's on TV.
Oh, I know, but still, he said it's a real girl fight. It's like, no, no, that's not a real girl fight. Real girl fight, you just go for it. But yeah, that's how girls do fight, is mentally. Where it's like, I'm going to screw with you, I'm going to make you think somebody likes you, and then, oh yeah, by the way, he really doesn't. It was all a setup. I just owned your ass. Mm-hmm. Or there's plot B, which is, I'm going to steal your boyfriend.
There you go. Next up, Damien Sandow, R-Truth. Damien Sandow won.
Does anybody else find it ironic that we were brought or given Damien Sandow by a hamburger?
That was well played. Sheamus came out and, you know, asked what after he's said now that he's doing, what's he doing after this such hard-fought victory at Raw? Sheamus tried to pull the crowd, which no one seemed to care. Sheamus noted that Sandow has his attention after what happened on SmackDown. He vowed to kick off Sandow's head at Payback Kickoff. See you in Chicago, fella. This is interesting. They're calling it Payback Kickoff.
Does that mean we're supposed to all, you know, stick our hands up in the air until they kick the ball?
Yes.
What?
They're not using the word pre-show with Sheamus. Find that interesting?
Yeah.
Every other month it's the pre-show on YouTube. This is the Payback Kickoff.
When you've got... well, to be fair, they've had other former champions on the pre-show. Miz. I'm looking at you. But yeah, it's, you're not, I think, is a way to, I guess, probably appease Sheamus, because I'm sure he's not happy about the fact that they're going on the pre-show.
Right.
And rightfully so, because they've sort of have half-assed this feud anyway.
They have, but they haven't. I like the stuff they've been doing.
I like the stuff that they've been doing, but they need to do... It's been mainly on SmackDown, and I would just would have liked to have seen a little bit more of it on Raw.
Right.
But it's kind of one of those things where it's like, we don't have time for you, so we're going to put you on the pre-show when they don't have every match announced yet.
Right.
It's like, I'm sorry, no offense to the IC title match, but the IC title match could easily go on the pre-show.
Yeah, but it's been a spot for months, so it got main show this time. So, anyway. Sheamus sending out pre-show. Stephanie McMahon's backstage. She tells the production assistant to, well, go tell Vince to meet her, it's business and it's urgent to meet him in, you know, their office. Then tell another one to find Triple H. It's personal and it's urgent to meet in their office, so they're going to meet in their office at some point. And as we notice, it's like getting really close to the top of the third hour, and they haven't met yet. So, But finally, we come back, and they're in the office.
Urgent business, that's what I heard.
That's exactly right.
What are you doing here?
What the hell is he doing here? You said this was personal.
Wait a minute, you said this was business.
What business do you have coming out there?
You get out of my business.
Out of your business. What you got coming out there in front of my business, getting up in my stuff? Huh? What do you come off doing that?
Because I'm me.
Because
that's why.
Because I'm me.
Hey! The two of you work this out. I'm sick and tired of it.
What I've done.
Yeah, what you've done.
I hope you don't think I'm coming in here to apologize to you.
I'm not about to apologize.
You want me to apologize to you? Is that it?
Yeah.
No, I don't do that. When I do the right thing, that was the right thing. You know why? Because you're bigger than that. You're bigger than a match with Curtis Axel. Kid's good. Don't get me wrong, but you're so much bigger than that. You don't need that match. You don't need any other match. Think about it. Think of everything you've accomplished. I don't think there's anyone in the world that's accomplished everything you've accomplished in WWE. Come on. You're an icon. You're a legend. But I want you to be more than that. More than that. I want you to be the man. I want you to be the, sit behind that desk only when you need, with that pencil, with the eraser, all right? And by God, you tell people to go to hell when they need to go to hell. You do the right thing every time. That's what I want for you. It's bigger than a match with Curtis Axel. You get that? I'm trying to do the right thing and give. I'm a giver. That's what I do. I get it. All right? I get it. You want to apologize? No, I'm not going to apologize. I get it.
All right, just to show you I'm the bigger man. You've got your match next week. If you want it, go ahead. You versus Curtis Axel.
You're giving me my match with Curtis Axel.
I just did.
You know, on second thought, you're right. I don't want the match with Curtis Axel.
Second thought, you know what? Personally, I'd like to see the match. You versus Curtis.
All right. I'm telling you right now, you're right. I don't want the match with Curtis Axel.
I know, but I just did. I'd like to see it.
I know, but I'm not having it. I don't want the match with
Curtis
Axel. Don't
raise your voice at me.
How about a group hug?
A what?
A family hug. Your family.
Hugging him.
We got back on the same page here. This is important. This is bonding.
I don't hug other men.
Well, then hug me.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, at the same time. Hold on.
No, hold on a second. What's the matter? So you'll hug her. You won't hug me now? What's the matter with me? You have a problem with me?
Are you going to hug me?
Can we hug? Please? Ready?
Come on, bring it in. Bring it in.
Bring it in there, bring it in, bring it in.
Okay, thank you. Okay, good. It's all good now. Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you. That's good. Thank you.
Hope you got what you wanted.
I did.
Don't give me that. Whatever.
Most awkward hug ever.
Yeah, but you can tell who wears the pants in that family.
Stephanie!
Like, when she just went, hey! Like, you go, girl. There's the Stephanie McMahon we all know and love so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There she is, right there.
That was funny. No, second thought, I won't have the match. You're right, I won't have the match. No, I won't actually see her. No, I won't have the match. Just back it. Yeah, that was great.
What this basically is this is the power struggle between Vince and Hunter, and I'm kind of wondering if this isn't the start of where, because Vince referenced, I want you to be the man, I want you to be behind the desk, I want you to make the right decisions, that this isn't sort of the TV handover
I think
to
so.
Hunter.
I think it
from
is.
Vince.
I think it really is.
And this is where this is going, is eventually Hunter will step away from wrestling and possibly and then step into Vince's shoes, because they keep making the reference of Vince isn't getting any younger.
They did that and a couple times tonight.
They did that a couple times tonight. They referenced Vince's age, which is something they don't usually do.
It's no.
And the fact that Vince basically said, I want you to succeed me.
So Vince is finally passing the torch.
Could be, and I think that this is where that's headed, and so you've got Vince trying to do that and trying to ingrain that into Hunter, that there's certain things that when you have that power, you can't do it anymore.
Basically, he's grooming Hunter.
Right, for the position that I think the payoff will be that Vince hands over control to Hunter and Stephanie, and then you've got Stephanie in the middle trying to sort of play referee between these two.
And Vince gets Hunter gets the power, but Vince will always be watching over.
Yes, Vince will be Vince. And as long as Vince is there, Vince always kind of sort of oversees Hunter and can overrule Hunter. But I think in the end, Vince is going to hand over, sort of pass the torch to Hunter. Because there is a point where Vince is going to have to hand things off, preferably while he's still alive.
Right.
And that's already kind of started backstage.
It has. It really has.
So now I think this is the sort of the on-camera, okay, well, I'm going to take a backseat. You're ready for that next step, which is I'm going to give the reins to you, and you're going to take over for me.
Right.
Because as I said, Vince is 70.
Yeah, he is.
Dude needs to retire.
Needs to be back in the pool with the kids.
But yeah, the hug bit at the end was phenomenal. I love Steph where she's like, let's hug.
They have a family hug. And they hug, Hunter pats him on the back, and then Vince has to, well, you're going to pet me, I'm going to pet you. And then Hunter pats him back, and he pats him back. Yeah. Great stuff.
It's like, it all kind of gave me the warm and fuzzies of the throwback to the McMahon-Helmsley era.
Mm-hmm.
Where Hunter first married Steph, and there was that really awkward relationship between Vince and Hunter.
There's always been that awkward relationship between the two.
I know, but we got to see more of it tonight, and I love that awkward relationship, because it's like, I like you, but I don't want to admit I like you.
Right.
And that's on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you're alright, but you know what? I'm not going to tell you that. So I'm just going to kind of really be awkward around you the whole time. And it's fantastic.
Yes. I want to see more of it, honestly.
Because it's like when Hunter goes, wait, I'm not good enough to hug? Why am I not good enough to hug? What's wrong with me?
I love it. I love that stuff. That stuff amused me. Sometimes you just need a laugh at wrestling.
You do.
But the main event was no laughing matter. It was the face-off between John Cena and the Ryback. It was supposed to be face-to-face, but Ryback was on the stage. They talked a lot. Ryback talked about his failed title matches. And he blamed Cena. Cena, you know, basically said, you can't blame me. Well, I'm supposed to hold your hand and change your diaper. And Ryback told Cena, he has a real original jokes. And then, you know, Cena says Ryback's the most genetically gifted athlete in WWE, but all he does is bitch and make excuses. And then Cena told Ryback that his excuses won't mean anything on Sunday when the champ walks in and walks out still the champ. Ryback said Cena can act tough, but his eyes are wide open. He can see John Cena. He accused John of being full of crap, saying he can read every move. Ryback said the legend of John Cena doesn't grow anymore, but it ends on Sunday when he puts him through a table, loads him into his unathletic body into an ambulance, and finally becomes WWE champion. Ryback said Cena gave him his spot 8 months ago, and this Sunday Ryback takes your spot. Cena says payback is a bitch. He tries to run out. The Lumberjacks throw him back in. He tries to run out the other way. Payback. They throw him back in. Ryback comes in. They brawl a little bit. Ryback gets tossed out. He gets tossed back in. And then the Lumberjacks pull them apart. Raw fades to black.
Yeah. Them being pulled apart was a nice bit.
The pull apart was good. Ryback talking was not.
Oh my god, they need to figure out Ryback in a promo battle. Especially when you have somebody that is as charismatic as John Cena.
Doesn't work.
And I'm with LeMans as far as the ambulance is concerned. I will be so happy after Sunday when they stop using that damn ambulance for his entrance. Hate that. Hate it. Because, I'm sorry, it is. It's confusing. No matter how many times he's done it, which he's done it now for 3 weeks, it's like you hear the sirens and you automatically think Steiner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no matter what I do in my head, I can't break that, where it's just like, oh, it's not Steiner, it's Ryback. You can't break that. And plus, it's just annoying. It's like, you got a ride to the ring in a back of an ambulance? That's calling your shot.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, okay, we get it. It's an ambulance match. We've only been told 50 billion times tonight, and 50 billion times over the past 3 weeks, ever since the match got set. I don't care. Nothing you do is going to sell me on this match. I'm sorry.
Right.
So it's just, yeah, the promo battle back and forth, Cena was fine. They need to figure out that Ryback, they need to either get him a manager or they need to figure out he can't talk and just have him do Ryback Smash. Because he has no personality. None. Zero. Zip. None.
So with all that being said, that's 3 hours of Raw. Not a bad show, not a great show. It was a decent to good show.
Considering the fact that this was the go-home for Payback,
mm-hmm.
and you're not having Triple H and Curtis Axel do anything, that's a little odd, particularly since the show revolved around the McMahons tonight.
Right.
And it's like, okay, so is this going to continue at the pay-per-view? Is this not going to continue? Because we got the setup for the Shield matches, we got the setup for the Divas match, I think we got the pre-show announcement, and I think
they named the world title match. They named they changed the Intercontinental title match. So we got the card tonight.
We got the card tonight, but everything sort of seems secondary, and it was really to the McMahon drama. And it's like, is that drama going to have a part in the pay-per-view? I'm kind of wondering, because it's like you set everything. And you did a nice job of setting everything, but it's like, eh?
It wasn't that big push you were looking for.
Yeah, there. I mean, even for Punk and Jericho, it's like you have Jericho cutting the promo on Punk, and then you have Ziggler walk out.
Right. You could have just left it with... and we'll get more into this on Thursday on the Rack, Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern. About the Jericho-Punk match, they could have just left it the original promo, and that would have been it.
Yeah, and it's just, it's like, I get you were having Jericho versus Big E, but still, it's like...
Could have just had Big E, you could have just had Big E come out and do the match, and then have Ziggler cut his promo.
Yeah, so it's like, the whole thing just, it was a nice show, it was, the drama was well done, just because I love to see the McMahon family drama, because it's always entertaining.
Right.
But, yeah, it's like, what was the point of all that tonight? Because, you know, LeMans made it, said it in the chat, well, where do they go from here with it? Other than, you know, we think that it's Vince passing the torch, it's like, well, okay, Hunter doesn't want to have the match with Curtis Axel, then what's the point?
It kind of sort of feels the pay-per-view is the afterthought.
Yeah.
And this time around, it might just be.
But it shouldn't be, that's the point.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, but they have a couple matches that are focused, you know, they sold at the end, that's the big thing, and we'll see what happens with the McMahons probably next week on Raw.
Probably.
So, it doesn't help the fact that, well, going into this pay-per-view, the matches they, you know, sort of had planned were always up in question because people kept getting hurt.
Yes, people need to stop getting hurt.
People need to stop getting hurt. That's basically the bottom line. So, that's the Raw Post Show, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of this very show tomorrow night, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, at 9 p.m. Eastern. Alan Wojcik will speak to Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks, the promoter of FWE, and their tag team champions, Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Special start time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Cheap Heat Radio, Scott Barry, Matthew Forsina. Special little time change for this week, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night is the Rack at 11 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. We're going to be doing an in-depth payback pick'em. We're going to be talking about Impact. We've got discussions. We've got question of the night. We've got 8-Ball. We've got tweet of the week. All the usual stuff, so tune in, listen, 11 p.m. Eastern right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Ray with myself, Rob Parks, Subway, and talk about the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega, and myself, and Lindsay will be there as well, as we'll, at 11 p.m. Eastern, as we'll be covering WWE Payback for y'all, so check it out. As I said, we'll be back next Monday night for another edition of Raw Post Show Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Tune in Thursday for the Rack for the Pick'em Challenge. Send your picks for WWE Payback to media@WildTalkRadio.com or send them to us on Facebook and the Twitter. Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. And go to LinsWard.deviantart.com to check out my artwork.
This has been another edition of the Raw Post Show, presented to you in part by MemLanePromo.com, PWMania.com, and of course me at WTRProductions.net. We'll see you next Monday live right here for the Raw Post Show, and we'll talk to you Thursday night for the Rock live right here on the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Knowledge itself. So for now, Mark Breck is living life for wealth.